Hallelujah.
Boy, that was about as weak as weak can get. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Man, we should be on fire for Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited about the Lord Jesus. Have been from the day he saved me. I still am. And I'm not ashamed to tell you or anybody watching on social media or if I meet you in Cub Food.
Amen.
Avery, that was really good. I thank the Lord for the young people that are willing to come up and allow the Lord to use their giftings as the Lord's continued to do a work in their life. Layla, for the announcements today, and all the young people that come forth in our use of the Lord. And so my thing is I'm praying for some young guys to get brave and come up here. We are praising the Lord and singing and, huh? Glory to God, but I thank the Lord for the girls too, that you're allowing the Lord to use you. So praise the Lord. I'm glad everyone is here today. You on watching by social media as well as here. This morning, I just want to say with my brother James sitting here, he lost his young brother. And our hearts are with you, James. We care about you and we weep with you and take joy with you when there's joy. But our hearts are out to you today. That's got to be difficult for you whenever you lose a loved one like that, especially a sibling. So our hearts, again, like I say, are with you. But praise the Lord. God is on the move in the world today, amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, you may not know it, but things are happening worldwide. The Bible is coming alive like you would not believe. And if you don't know the Bible, you wouldn't know it. That's why it's important to read the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
So we gotta be about our Father's business. And young and old, God is moving. We're, you know, it's what's really frustrating to me is what happened the other day with May Day. And I'm not going to talk politics today, even though I could. I'm not. It really bothers me that teachers would call young students out of classes to go and protest against this president. That really disturbs me. That's not their job to be doing that. Our children should be in school to learn things, to learn history, geography, arithmetic, whatever you want to call it, and be used that way. The liberal media and are guilty of it, and these teachers that do this, they're wrong.
That's right.
And it should not be done.
That's right.
We need to be teaching our young people about the things of God.
Yes.
You know, when we were growing up, we actually had the Gideons come in and give us Bibles.
Yes.
We used to pray in our school all the time. You know, back then we didn't have riots. We didn't have horrible things. Oh, there were some bad things happening. Naturally, always has been in the world. But we didn't have like it is today. We didn't have people coming out of schools and colleges and hitting our streets. The Lord was in the schools. Even the teachers prayed with you, a lot of them. And wouldn't that be good again? And that's what they're striving for again, even in Texas right now, to get Bibles back into school and say prayers and things. And we're all for that.
Yeah.
And we need it, people. Our world needs it.
Yes.
And we're in some difficult times. And we're believing God that he's got a purpose and a plan. And we know he does. And he's coming soon. And we need to be prepared for that. So today, something I feel in my heart, I wanted to praying that I believe the Lord gave me this week the best of my ability. And I'm speaking on the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's not talked about much today. Even some of the big mega churches do not want you talking about the Holy Spirit. People get kind of freaked out, you know, when they hear spirit or ghost. I don't think so. And but we need to talk about it. It's vitally important in the hour we live that the Holy Spirit is prevalent, moving in this day. Say, I got to give a shout out to a young lady back there in the corner too. With little, can you hold up little Oliver? That's Jaden. That's her new little baby. And and thank you very much. I had to do that because a week when I go to the bank and make a deposit, she worked there. And she always told me about little Oliver, so I get to see him in person now today. Don't go away today without me shaking little Oliver's hand. And we got some new people here today, and thank you again for coming and visiting. And then we got some snowbirds back with us. You know, I His wing was kind of low, but I mean it. But we're happy to have them back too. Amen. So praise the Lord. Look at somebody again before I start and say, I'm really glad you're here today. Say, you need to listen to this preacher. No. Hallelujah. You got to be lighthearted too, don't you? Yes. That, Christians should be the most lighthearted people there are. Why? Because we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
And we should never be ashamed of being lighthearted. The world needs lightheartedness anyway. We got enough of the junk stuff going on, and we need to laugh once in a while and have fun too, even amongst ourselves as believers. But the work of the Holy Spirit, like I said, so vitally important. And the Holy Spirit we welcome here today, who is here. He's here. You don't have to feel him, but he's here. Yes, he's here. Where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus is here. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is here. And we want to know, and every one of us, if you're in here this morning and you're a true born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And that's it. That's the most important thing. You know, Jesus doesn't put the Holy Spirit in people who don't want him, who don't live for him. He doesn't do that. He doesn't put his Holy Spirit into rebellious people who say, I want nothing to do with Jesus and God. He does it to the person who will come to him and surrender their life to him, lifestyle, accepting them, and the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell within that person and guide that person, which I'll cover here somewhat this morning. So the work of the Holy Spirit, of which we receive the moment we're saved, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches, comes and dwells within you. That's vitally important to know that. I don't know if they teach that in many churches today, but we need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need the Holy Spirit desperately today. So as we journey through life, we need to depend upon that Holy Spirit. John 16:14 says, he shall glorify me, receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus walked the earth once. He was our comforter, our counselor. Amen. He's the one that ministered to people and brought peace and joy and all these things. And then he said, I got to go away, but I'm going to send another, and I'm going to cover that a little bit too. And that other is the one who is helping you and I today in the world we live today. He's still here and doing a mighty work. So, and you know, something else I want to mention too about the Holy Spirit. If you're in here and you are and watching, you're a true born again Christian. If you and I are living in rebellion, even as a Christian, sin, habitual sin or whatever, and we're resisting that Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit steps back. He does not force himself on you. He will not do that. But he will come to you as you desire to be in the Word, to read the Word, to pray, to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, young or old.
Amen.
He comes, will dwell in. But when you and I get rebellious and we don't want to live for the Lord or be the way he wants us to be, even as Christians, he steps back. He doesn't leave you. He never will. But we can leave him. We can walk away and our hearts can grow cold and we can't hear him speaking anymore. And I know as a brand new Christian, when I heard of God, and boy, I tell you, I got hungry for things of God, and the Holy Spirit started showing me things I didn't even know was in the Bible. As a Lutheran, a good Lutheran. My wife, a great Catholic when I met her. But we didn't hear this stuff. And we get into the Word of God and all of a sudden it opens up to it. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you hunger and thirst for the Word of God. People say it's hard to understand the Bible. No, it's not. If you truly are walking in the Spirit of God, God will literally give you a revelation and open the Word to you to help you to understand it. If you don't know a word in the Bible, what do you do in school? They teach you. Look it up. Dude, what's so hard about that? And so that's what we want to do is just touch on that this morning. And I just want to list off some things quickly here that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin.
Amen.
whether you're saved or unsaved. The Holy Spirit regenerates you and I once we come to Christ. He's doing a work in us to become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit seals believers. He seals us for the day of redemption. We belong to Jesus once we come to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit instantly seals us for that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit assures believers of salvation. If you're in here struggling today, call upon them. You've given your life to Christ. We say, I just don't feel him. I just don't sense him or whatever. Don't worry about that because our feelings change from moment to moment. Jesus said we walk by faith, not by sight, not by how we feel, how we think. We walk according to what this Bible said. If I did what the Bible's told me to do to be a born-again Christian, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit will confirm that in you. The Holy Spirit sanctifies believers. That means he will set you and I apart for holiness. He is working in you and I to become holy people. Yeah. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. How do we get there? We depend upon the Holy Spirit moving and walking within us. And guess what? Nobody arrives on this side of heaven. That's a process. Sanctification is a process as we walk through this world. And the Holy Spirit promotes Christ-likeness in believers. He's working to make us like Jesus. Not to be Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's what he wants to do. And by the way, I got scriptures for all these too. I just don't have the time I get through this to do it. But you can look them up. Yeah. Study to show yourself approved, a workman not being ashamed. That's the problem. Nobody reads their Bibles anymore and they don't understand anything and they don't even know it's in the Bible and they go to a church and they're entertained all day long and they come out of it. But I tell you, people, I'm not going to apologize for preaching because that's what I get paid to do. We need to be prepared for what's coming. We need to be on fire for what's coming in this world, young and old. We need to be aware and to be in the Word of God, because this shows us what the future is right here. It's in there. But you'll never know that if you don't read it. The Holy Spirit intercedes for believers. When you need something in your heart and life and you're just struggling so hard, whatever problem it is, the Holy Spirit within you is interceding on your behalf in heaven. He's talking to the Father. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Bible, as I just said, to help you to understand it. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers, the giftings in your life. As we hear our young people being used in different giftings, the Holy Spirit actually increases and helps that along. And that's what we pray for young people today in churches, that they come in and get a hunger and a thirst for serving God. Because I tell you what, I learned from my young age to where I'm at from when I gave my life to the Lord. Jesus is the most exciting thing you can live for. Amen. Oh yeah, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have a lot of bad days. You're going to have trials and tribulations and everything else. But Jesus is there. Amen. Nor forsake you. He'll never, in the depth of your darkness, the worst time of your life, he is there. He will never leave you. That's why I get excited about talking about him. The Holy Spirit guides believers. He guides you and I in the Word. He guides you and I to make decisions. He guides young people sitting in schools when they're taking tests, if they're struggling. He can help you there too. He can help you in many, many different ways. He's our helper. And he helps us learn the Word of God. And he helps us to know how to live for the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives believers their resurrected bodies one day when we all die, should Jesus tarry. 100% guaranteed, Jesus terrible will die. And at that point, the Bible teaches me that the Holy Spirit will give me my new resurrected body. Amen. No more pain, no more suffering, nothing. He's the one who will be the one doing that work. And when the rapture happens, it will be that Holy Spirit. I believe that God says, come up hither. Amen. That Holy Spirit is called home. Amen. With the believer where it indwells. Glory to God. There's a lot about the Holy Spirit. There's so much. I was going to probably, take the whole week and just stay here and preach. I know it'd be empty chairs after about an hour, but there's a lot here. But also, I believe that Jesus himself wants to have the baptism in the Holy Spirit to do the work of Christ. He wants to have that. And I'll touch on that as I'm going along here. And this occurs after the resurrection, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus wanted you to be, and I to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He knows that's where we're going to get our power and the things we need in this life. It is set, you know, that scripture there for the events of Pentecost, which, by the way, May 24th, I believe, this month now, the Christian world called the Holy Day, is the day of Pentecost when this happened. And so is what this is doing. When the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, it gave them the power and empowerment to do the mission that God was calling them into. Glory to God. Jesus cares about you, young and old. He cares about us, and he wants us to have the same victory. And so he wants us. He spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. So forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Thank me for saying, talking about the Holy Spirit, because right this morning, you will be somewhere down the road, because we need to depend upon that Spirit. Everything that we are, everything that we can be, is hinged on by what the Holy Spirit is and will do in you and I. He makes us more like Jesus. He gives us power to witness and guides us into all truth. You notice, I noticed something that when I got saved, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I had more boldness than I thought I ever had in the world, because I was a super shy guy. My wife will confirm that. Super shy. But when I got filled I told everybody about Jesus. I was a salesman, and I was going around telling people. That's what we need to do. We need to go around and witness and be a witness, and the Holy Spirit helps us. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. His love for you and I is so great. That's his desire, to give us his Holy Spirit, because he knows we need it. He could never ever pay attention to us, but he desires, because he's a good God, he wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit and prepare us. But again, in Luke 11:13, refers to the baptism, Spirit baptism, and the full endowment for power for service. John chapter 14, 16 through 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and, dwelleth with you, and shall be. Did you hear that? He dwells within us. The world can't conceive that. They can't understand it. That's why they mock. That's why they make fun of the things of God. That's why they do. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't. I did the worldly things, and all the ungodly things, the sinful things of the world. I didn't know him until I did. Then this all came to light through the Holy Spirit. Once I gave my life to Christ, he came into me and showed me it, just like a light bulb went off. Ford did not have the best great idea. Word another is the Greek word allos, which meaning something totally different. So everybody saw Jesus when he walked with them, when he ministered to them. He held the children. He ministered to the children. He did all kinds of things. He sat in the temple with the educators, the teachers, the rabbi. He did all that. And he was a counselor. He was a helper. He was a healer. He did all that. But he said, I got to go away. So what did he say? He said, I'm going to send another. Another. Different from me. It's going to be different from me. You know who that was? That was Jesus himself, was different. The Holy Spirit was different from him. But he was talking about himself. He said, I go away. And John 20:21, then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Now, some people say, to argue the Bible, they say, well, that's for them in the Bible. That was for them in the Bible. Well, the devil's lying to your spirit, because the scripture teaches me that every word and every jot and every tittle in here, we live by it.
Amen.
We live by it. It's the bread of life. We eat this word. This word is Jesus Christ in written form, and we live by every one. The stories that we read in here that are about someone else, we can apply it to ourselves in this life as example, because we learn what happened to other people and how God worked through them. But it's written to you and I the same way. He put it there so we could understand it through stories. The first outline of Christ here to do the Great Commission, to go into all the world, was right here in John 20:21. "Even so, I send you." Who does he send? He sends the born-again believer, once they get saved, to go out into all the world to preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do. John 20:22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." Jesus breathed on them. "And saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Wow. You know that word? That's the Greek word emphuzao. It means to blow at or on. Jesus did that. He walked up to the disciples. He blew on them. And he does the same thing today through the Holy Spirit when we come to Jesus Christ. Yes. He blows, the Spirit comes upon us, dwells within us. And that symbolizes the empowerment and the spiritual renewal that we need to do the work of God. You know, there's a lot of people who confess and profess the name of Christ, but do nothing for they do nothing. But I tell you, once you get the Holy Spirit, that changes your world. It should anyway. It should. And then you want to go out and you want to serve the Lord. You know, the desire that any of you have to serve the Lord, and I thank God for each one of you to serve the Lord within the church atmosphere, whether it's in here, outside here, as you live out your Christian life, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, whether you believe it or not. He's guiding you and bringing things into your life. I could stand here for a long time and tell you about things the Holy Spirit has led me to, or led something to me in order to bring out what he's doing in my life and encourage somebody else. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I was in San Francisco one time on a sales job. I walked down to the pier, whatever they call it down there, and there's this a young lady in the store, make it real quick here. I walked in and I had my briefcase. I had another salesman walking with me, and she walks up to me, and I was looking at a t-shirt that said Russia 18 whatever to whatever, and then it had a blank. And I walked up there, and for some reason she said to me, she said, "I bet you don't know what that means on there, from Russia, from 18 da 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 da." And I said, "Actually, I do." And she said, "Are you a witch?" And I said, "No, who I serve?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, the Lord Jesus Christ just showed me that you are in a terrible time in your life. You've been kicked out of your place, and you're having a hard time with a relationship." And she stood there and started crying right in the store. She said, "How did you know that? You are. I said, "No, I'm not a witch." I said, "I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit in me told me and showed me what you're going through." And I led her to Christ in that store. I gave her a tract when I left, so I told her, read about it so you can understand it. But that's how the Holy Spirit desires to use you and I. If you and you say, and for some reason they're laid on your heart, and you're just sitting there, you think, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying, go encourage them. He likes to do that. I told you a story about my wife and I in a restaurant one time. The waitress slammed our plate down on our table. Boom! Just like that. And the first thought, who do you think you are? But we didn't. I said to her, I said, "Is there something in your life that I can pray with you about?" And my wife will confirm. She started crying and sat down with us and told us what was going on. and we're able to share Christ. Being a Christian is the most exciting thing in the world.
Amen.
And let's do some street witnessing. Go on a mission trip. Do things and find out who he truly is. And you're going to want to do more and more. That's why I'm here. I'm standing up here today, not because I'm a great guy, a great preacher, nothing. I'm just standing here because I love serving Jesus. That's all it is. It's the Holy Spirit put a desire in me, want to preach and teach the word of God. And that's what he's doing with many of you. Jesus is sending the disciples out with the same endowment, power, and fullness of the Spirit that the Heavenly Father gave Jesus himself when he came to earth. The same thing. Look at how the Holy Spirit moved through Peter. And by the way, denied Jesus. Do you remember that story? Well, look what happened afterwards. Acts chapter 5, 15 and 16. See, Peter was scared because he was afraid they might kill him, I'm guessing. That's why he rejected Jesus Christ 3 times. But here it says in Acts 5:15, after that scenario was all over and Jesus brought Peter back, it says, insomuch that he brought forth the sick into the streets, talking about Peter, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter, passing by night, by might overshadow some of them. There came also a mount about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every
one.
How many?
Everyone.
Not certain ones, not only the people this or that. He healed everyone. Peter didn't do the healing, but he had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he went out and he was empowered by the word of God, and signs and wonders followed that man shortly after he got denied Jesus 3 times out of fear. And later on you read he led 5,000 people to Christ. The church grew. But that's what happens when the power of the Holy allow him to be activated in your life. That's why don't resist him. If you see the Lord speaking in your heart to do something for him, do it. You'll be rewarded. It's the most exciting thing in the world. As a born-again Christian, you ask, what's my purpose in life? I've heard that many times already since I've been a Christian. Somebody say, what's my purpose? What is my purpose in life? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Go out and witness and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Your purpose is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. As a born-again believer, that's what Jesus said, even as I send you forth. My job when I got saved was to go out and did what I was doing. I would share the gospel. That's our job. Spread the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross. That's what we go out and tell people. That's what we warn them from hell. Warn a sinner in their sin, and their blood will not be on your hand. Go out and tell them that Jesus died for the whole world. And yes, you can't just automatically go to heaven. The Bible tells me that you must be born again. The Bible tells me that you must repent of your sin. You must come to the Lord. You must have a whole different thinking and you turn away from it. Different thoughts toward God. And tell them that before you can go to heaven, Jesus said you need to repent. Why? It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And he offers it to you and I by what he did on the cross. And when he does, he said, if you ask me to forgive you, I will forgive. And he said, you ask me to come into your life. He will. He'll do it through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He will come in. He will take the sins that you ask for forgiveness for, throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. And that precious blood that was shed down Calvary's cross will wash your sins away and you'll be as white as snow. The devil will come along and say, yeah, but you remember, Brother Bob, you remember that horrible thing you did in life? And he can stand there and say, no, I did not do that, because God said he forgot it. God doesn't even remember it. Doesn't even know what the devil's talking about, because it's under the blood. That's what he did on the cross. That's why you can go and excite. I've ministered to people that were burdened and living. And I told them, you got hope. You got hope. There's somebody that loves you that will forgive you and change your life totally. I've watched drug addicts, doctors. I worked in Teen Challenge. I watched them I'm not giving credit to me. I'm giving the credit to the Lord by what he was doing through the Holy Spirit in these lives. And it's an exciting thing. John 1:32, and John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. See, this event signifies Jesus' anointing to begin his service, his three-year ministry. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, to mean to carry, to take up. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us. That fire really means there is a purging. It purges us. It purges our lives and helps us to become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit working in us with fire. John 1:3-3, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said, that's John the Baptist talking, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
Yes, say it out loud, man.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Don't be afraid to say his name. Yes, I get a little radical, but it's true. It's Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed of that name, for there's power in the name of Jesus. The world does not want you to say it. You can say God, you can say Lord, you can say all kinds of things, but don't you say Jesus. That's when you see the demonic begin to manifest within people. They will get so angry, because why? He's the one who paid the price. They don't want to hear that name. Jesus himself. He never began his public ministry until the Holy Spirit had come upon him for empowerment. There are two different acts of grace concerning the Holy Spirit. The first is when the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer, it's at salvation. He literally comes in and dwells. You receive the Holy Spirit when you surrender your life to Christ. Every person needs the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again. A religious leader, Jesus told the religious leader, he must be born again. He asked, that religious leader said to Jesus, how must I enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, he must be born again. There's no other way into heaven. No other way. Jesus is the door. He's the way. He's the narrow gate. He's the only way. And if you haven't done that, I would suggest you do it as quickly as possible. Jesus said, now is the day of salvation. Because how many people know that every day our poor brother lost his brother now? Every day people are dying. 173,000 people die every single day. Every day. Young and old, are you ready? That's why there's an urgency in the heart of Christ to have people to come to the knowledge of salvation. And we need the Holy Spirit to convict us, to make us be aware of our sinful lives too. You still with me?
Yes.
See, this is a miracle regeneration when Christ comes. The second act of grace is the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, but then there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Luke 24:49 says it this way, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye were endued, meaning clothed with the power from on high. There it is, right there. The baptism, the infilling. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, too, in this scripture. Jesus said, tarry here in the city of Jerusalem. You know what he was teaching them? Patience. Patience. One of the hardest things in our patience. I want it now, and I... But Jesus said, you tarry here until you be endued with power from on high. Then you can begin your ministry outside. This is where the Christian receives the endowment of power to do the work of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the most important day in Christianity because it marks the moment when the followers of Jesus were empowered to do their mission. It was actually the beginning of the church, the day of Pentecost, which is May 24th, where the Christian holiday is called the Holy Day now. But before Pentecost, the disciples, and Jesus was told us all about it too, the fear, the things that were going on in the disciples' lives. They're still reeling from that event of Jesus' crucifixion, seeing him crucified. They thought he was going to be king of the world. And here they saw him on a cross hanging. They remained hidden unsure what to do next, filled with a mix of emotions, confusion, and perhaps even fear of what lies ahead. And we have Christians like that today. They live in fear. They're mixed in their confusion. They need the Holy Spirit. They're Christian. They may have given their life to Christ, but they're confused, and they're what people might say, what people might think, and there's things going on in their life, and confusion comes in. That's where the disciples were. That's where they were. Jesus instructed them to wait, and Pentecost was the answer to their waiting. They are unaware of the incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is about to come upon them. And they needed that empowering power to become bold witnesses for Christ. It'll give you a boldness, whether you believe it or not. And that boldness really comes on you, not when you sit in a pew, in a church pew, and say, "Oh God, oh Lord, please give me boldness so I can go out and witness." No, you go out and witness, and the boldness comes. That's how it comes on you. I learned that from experience. Remember way back in my story? I was so shy, crawl under that chair if the company came over. But I tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, power comes upon you. But it activates as you put it into use. And that's what we need to do. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:4, and they were all, how many?
All.
Filled with the Holy Ghost and begun to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Many people in our world today make fun of the tongues. They make fun of it, but it's got a purpose and it's got a place. Now the world can make fun of it, but a true born again Christian, that's the most important thing you can do, with the evidence of speaking in tongues when you get in filled with the Holy Spirit. When speaking in tongues, we are communicating. 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit the Spirit speaks in him. That's the Holy Spirit. And you may not understand it when you hear somebody speak in tongues. Now, if I stood up here and I spoke in tongues and I could, you wouldn't understand a thing I'm saying. You would just hear me speaking in tongues and you would get nothing out of it. That's why in a corporate setting like this, whenever there's a tongue, someone speaking in a tongue, there's got to be an interpreter that God put in here too to interpret that so that you and I can understand it. But on a personal level, in your home, in your car, wherever, and you're speaking in tongues, that's between you and God. Sometimes you pray. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and say, "Lord, I don't know what to pray about anymore." Pray in tongues. Because when we do that, we're praying a language that God knows, a heavenly language, that he has got mysteries within that language, and he is revealing things and maybe doing something in somebody else's life through your praying. But speak in tongues. It will edify you. The scriptures teach that. It'll edify, encourage you when you speak in tongues. Too many Christians don't speak in tongues anymore. They did at one time, but they don't anymore because of the way the church is gone. The church is so watered down today, they don't want that in the church anymore. It got to the point where the preacher tells them to sit down, be quiet. But the Holy Spirit congregation, there's some good congregations still permitted. But I tell you what, it isn't the preacher that controls the service, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. If I got in my spirit to sit down and shut up, I'm going to do it. And there's times when I had to change things even while talking. And that's why the Holy Spirit's in charge, because he lives in me and he lives in the Christian. And that's why I wanted to touch on that today. Jesus is still doing the same works that he's always done. But now it's in through the power of the Holy Spirit, distributed to each person. Nobody's special. God's not a respecter of persons. If you're hungry, if you say, "I'm a nobody, I've been picked on, I've been teased, I've been called and ridiculed and said you'll never be worth anything," you're the very person that God will raise up to be a mighty man or woman of God. Hallelujah. See, I was there. I never thought I'd be anything, and I'm still not anything other than I'm in Christ. But he allowed me to be able to be used by him. Hallelujah. See, as he distributes it to each person to do the work of the Holy Spirit, the one, just like Jesus, you'll do the work just like Jesus, becomes the helper, the teacher, the guide, the author, minds renewed. The Holy Spirit's doing all that. If you're having trouble with your mind, call upon Jesus.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will begin to work in your mind. And you know how you do that? The Bible says, whatever you think on things of good report.
Yes.
Think on things that are true and honest and pure and righteous and honest. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling you and I to do in the Word of God. And when we do that, our mind comes back to where it needs to be. Because the devil wants you and I to think on the worldly things, think on the evil things. That's all we see in around us today. But Jesus said, when you get overwhelmed with that, start thinking on these things.
Yes.
And joy will come. Joy will come in the morning.
Yeah.
Amen. You ever been around anybody who becomes so negative because they watch the news too much? Ouch, huh? Turn it around and say, God's in charge of the world. He knows everything that's going on in the world. He knows what's going on in the schools. He knows what's going on in the colleges. He's aware of it, and he's got a plan and a purpose, and it's all falling into place.
Amen.
So I can hear it, and I need to be aware of it so I know the signs of his soon return. But I also do not need to become depressed and negative. I can look and say, man, Lord, I sure am glad you're on the throne.
Yes.
How many remember the old Doug Oldham song? I can face tomorrow. Huh? So you young people, you have no idea who Doug Oldham is. Hallelujah. I'm getting John 7, 38, 39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, say out of his belly.
Out of his belly.
Say it once more. Out of his belly.
Out of his belly.
Shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. See, you got to believe. You got to believe upon Jesus to allow that Holy Spirit to flow out of you. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But that river is a living water. I tell you what, when you get the Holy Ghost in you and you, Jesus, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That living water is what? It's this. You can go minister to people. You can minister to your family. You can go to school. And if you're scared of a bully or whatever it is, I don't care what it is, there's things in here that can give you encouragement, can give you strength, can give you help. And the Holy Spirit will help you remember it as you read it. He said, I will bring it to remembrance. The Holy Spirit. You still with me? Because I hope I'm giving you the truth. John 15, 7, 8. If ye abide in me and my words. Lift your Bibles up now. No, that's okay. See, there are not many Bibles in church like there used to be. There's cell phones. And you know, segue. Cell phones are okay. I understand them, the principle and everything. But if people are in church and they're looking at their cell phones and texting their friends or business or whatever they're doing, they're not in church.
That's right.
Mm-mm. You need to hear what the preacher is, not because he's so wonderful. He cares, man. That had nothing to do with it, what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But see, I understand a lot of phone now, and that's kind of cool. But you know something? I hope they do have it on the word when they got them out. But you know, when we got saved in church before cell phones were a big deal, we heard this.
Yes.
People were flipping through. Everybody brought their Bibles to church. People are flipping through. And a lot of those old Pentecostal people that are old now, I'm one of them. We learned something about the things of God. We don't know it all. Not by a long shot. But we know more than a lot of younger people do today because they're not taught to read the Word. They find themselves on their Bible app. I got to go over. I just got a message. I know I'm stepping on toes this morning, but you know, isn't that what I'm supposed to do sometimes? Listen to this. When the power of the Holy Spirit is alive in you and has a purpose, it's the purpose to glorify God, really. The Holy Spirit not only has a role in your personal life, but also in the world. John 16:8-11, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. So this world is judged already. Romans 10:13-17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, whom hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. That's how your faith grows.
Amen.
And I don't care what you think of my feet, they're beautiful. Because Jesus said they were. That's why I can say that. Beautiful are the feet. Your feet are beautiful when anytime you're preaching the gospel and living the gospel, no matter how small a thing or how big an opportunity it is, your feet become beautiful because you represent the Lord Jesus Christ in skin.
Amen.
And your feet are beautiful. I did that in Russia when I was preaching there, and I took my shoes off. It's cold as could be in the building. Cold. They don't have heat like we do here in the winter. I took my shoes off, and all of a sudden, all 400 of those pastors in that place, I think, oh, that stupid American guy there. But I gave them some good news, and it changed many of their lives when I got done. I didn't change their lives. What I was telling them changed their life. And I like to tell this story because it's the Holy Spirit that moves through His Word. And while I was doing that, the worship team, very good worship team, when I got done and I talked on salvation and sin, the two head people of the worship team, very talented, stepped forth to give their lives to Christ and repent of their sin. They were living in adultery. Now, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did. But He did. They know unless I was preaching it to them. Somebody's got to say this stuff. That's you and I. We're called to do it. I don't need to be up here to be able to preach. I can just, like I did when I sales, I did it anyway. Wherever the opportunity leads and the door was open, you let the Lord use you. The Holy Spirit will send you people. It's awesome. It's incredible. Romans 10:13-17. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him? How shall they hear without a preacher? I want to repeat that. You and I are the preachers. It's our responsibility. Somebody said, I let the preacher do it. Mm-mm. Jesus said, all of us. All of us are to go out and preach the gospel. So in conclusion, I'll cut it there. There's a lot more, but I tell you what. This is the power of the Spirit released to work in the believer. You need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But first you need to be born again. Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Did you hear? All have sinned and come short of the glory. That means everybody is destined for hell. May not like to hear it that way. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. That death means separation from a holy, righteous God for all eternity. And the gift of God is eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ himself, through what he accomplished on the cross by his shed blood and forgiveness of sin. When we come to him, he will do it. And everyone needs to repent. The Bible says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, young and old. Young people came to Jesus. Older people came to the Lord. Everybody is called to do the same thing if you want to go to heaven. God gives you and I the choice, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's not going to say, you get up there, you give your life to me, or you're going to go to a really not so nice place. He didn't say that. He said, come. Come on to me, all you that perish. come on to me and I will receive you. What a loving God we have. What a loving God. And you know, he did that through his Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit acting through Jesus said, come on to me, all you that are hunger and thirsty. He's always calling. You're forcing. He said, you don't want to come to me. I'm not going to force you. John 16, 13, 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto them. That's Jesus saying, we'll glorify him, Jesus. And Jesus is going to show him truth. He's going to receive the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells him, you go tell all of them what I'm telling you. The Spirit of truth, John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is. Don't listen to any preacher who said you don't need the Old Testament anymore. Tell them they're a liar, because they are. We need the whole Bible, every jot and every tittle. God says we will live and it will never go away, ever. It will be for all eternity, every jot and every tittle in this word. We're living in times, it's sad to say, but we have people standing behind pulpits that are saying false things, false teachings, and leading a whole congregation astray. You need to read the Bible for yourself. So if that ever happens, even me, you need to qualify what I'm saying, to make sure it's in here. The Holy Spirit will place in your heart a strong desire for God's word. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We can call upon the Lord. We can call upon the Holy Spirit, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With every head bowed and eye closed, please. I just want to ask you quickly again. I gave the salvation message pretty much. And if there's anyone in here today, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, if you don't know for sure that if you were to die or Jesus comes back, because he said he's coming back soon, world events dictate that, and you're not ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you were to die today, and you could, are you ready to go to be with Jesus? And you say, Pastor, I want to make sure. Because everybody that Jesus called, he called publicly. That solidifies your walk with him. And so I'm going to ask, young or old, if you want to make sure that you go to heaven when you die, just raise up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but do it. Just raise it up. We all have to come the same path. There's only one narrow gate. Is there anybody this morning? Anyone? Hallelujah. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask anyone with their hands up just to come up and stand with me, face me. This is the greatest time. You may not have another chance. I need to say this because it's important. If there's anyone hand up and you say, I should be up there, and you don't do it, guess what happens to your heart? Bible tells us, beware lest your heart become hardened. And the next time a preacher will give an altar call, you won't hear it much anymore. You will no longer hear it. And that's what happens. So, one, if you're ready, just come on up now. Just come up. You had your hand up. You come on up. Two, three. You don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's here today. It's what calls us. Is there anyone else, young or old? This may be your last chance. I think there are some more, and you're risking it yourself. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to pray with these folks right here. You want to just... Because I'm going to ask you that, just say a prayer with me. You repeat it out loud. I'm going to have the congregation repeat it out loud too. But I'm going to ask you to do it. But my prayer doesn't save you. But the words, if you mean them in your heart, the Holy Spirit's here right now and Jesus is here and he wants you right now. He's so excited, he's probably telling me to shut up. So let's go. Everyone, if you want to, you can pray this with me. If you're praying it in secret and you know you should be up here, that's okay. You can do that. But you need to be a witness. Whenever people come forward salvation, when they leave, I say, now go tell somebody you gave your life to Jesus. Something, the Holy Spirit does a work. You say it out loud with me. What's your name?
My name is Barb.
Barb? What's your name?
David.
David? Heavenly Father, say it out loud. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. And I ask for forgiveness for all the sins I've committed. From the day I was born a sinner to where I stand here today. Jesus, please forgive me. I ask that your precious blood that was shed on the cross wash me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And now, Jesus, I believe you came to earth. I believe you died. And I believe you rose again. Jesus, come into my heart by your Holy Spirit and save me. And I thank you, Jesus. I believe you, Jesus. I now believe that I'm born again. Not because I say the words, but because you said the words. And I receive them, and I believe them. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God just got bigger. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you congratulate them too, because this is the most exciting thing. The Bible tells me in heaven the angels rejoice around the throne of God when one sinner repents and comes. One. And just think, God himself is dancing around his own throne. He's so thankful. Thank you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I lift these two up right now. I pray, Lord, that your hand of mercy and grace be upon them. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over their hearts and their minds. The enemy would try to come along and steal what you put in their hearts today. Lord, we don't want him to do that. So, Lord, we ask, Father, your Holy Spirit will speak gently to their hearts, Lord, in your love. And, Lord, just put that desire within them to serve you every day of their life from this point on. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a couple of little books here, too. Just a sec, folks. Just something to help you. Okay? Lord bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Love you. Lord bless you, man. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people in this church. I thank you for those watching by social media. I thank you for visitors. I thank you for all of them, Lord, because we are all looking to you, Lord, for help in this dark world. So, Father, I pray for every home that's represented here today, that your hand of grace and mercy will be upon it. Those that will still need to get right with you, that the Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them to you. I pray you'll bless every home, meet every need, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, domestically, in every area, that they can see your goodness and your mercy. And should Jesus tarry and not come back, and next week that we can all come together again rejoicing in who you are and loving you and praising you and giving you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, hallelujah. look at somebody today, and make sure you shake hands on the way out. That's important. Shake. Oh yeah, don't forget, we got some cake downstairs. Everybody's welcome. And to celebrate the Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz. And tell somebody that you're happy they were here today. Lord bless you.